Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Let me read it to you. It says simply this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Just this morning, I got an email from the superintendent of Scotts Valley Schools. Now, it wasn't just me. She sent it out to all the parents of Scotts Valley students. Let me read to you what Tanya Krause says. She says, "We are living in an extraordinary time and are keenly aware of the concerns being discussed and addressed at the local, state, national, and global levels. Our most recent experiences with the fires in our local area and our state were compounded on top of the existing feelings of frustration and concern related to the global pandemic," that's right, there's still a pandemic going on, "the Black Lives Matter movement, economic uncertainty, and school closures." And then she closes with this line: "The level of uncertainty and unrest in our world is high right now." I love those two words that she used. First of all, I'm glad she didn't use the word unprecedented. We're all kind of tired of that word. But she used the word extraordinary, and we are in extraordinary times. And then she used the word uncertainty. The title of my message today is Uncertainty Just Ahead. Uncertainty Just Ahead. But I want to remind you, it is only early September of 2020. We still have another quarter to go. We still have one of the most controversial, divisive elections coming up in our future. There is most certainly uncertainty ahead for you and for me. Last week, I talked about Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel chapter 3, the king erects an enormous statue. And as he commanded that when the music began, everyone in the entire city would have to bow and worship this idol. And as you know, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they refused to bow. And you think about it, they could have easily just justified, well, we'll just do it outwardly, but God knows our hearts. It doesn't work. They stood for their convictions and their beliefs, and they refused to bow to the idol. And they were thrown into the fire because of it. Now, you and I, we're sophisticated. We live in the modern world, right? We don't have idols. We don't erect statues and bow to them. But do not be mistaken. Do not misunderstand. We have our idols. Some of us meticulously clean our idols every Saturday afternoon. Some of us spend hours online scrolling, doing research, investigating our idols. Some of us have no idea how many idols we truly have in our lives. Let me give you a definition of what an idol is. First of all, the word idol comes from two Hebrew words that are brought together in one word. That first root word is this. It has to do with worship or serving. And worship is that which you give worth to, that which you elevate and value. But the second part of that word, listen to this, I really like it, means a ghost or an illusion or something false. And so idolatry is to give yourself, to bow to worship something that is really just a ghost or an illusion or a false god. See, an idol is anything, good or bad, doesn't matter, anything that we bow to. That is something that we elevate to a high place. Remember that word. We'll come back to it. High place in our lives. It can be a job. It can be financial security. It can be a relationship. It can be our time. Or it can be even our freedom. There is anything and everything that is potentially an idol for you and for me. But something that I believe we all idolize, just by the very fact of being human, we all have the tendency to idolize certainty. That's right. Certainty can become an idol or control. So many of our fears and our anxieties and even some of our addictions stem from this one reality. See, we feel uncertain, we feel insecure, we feel vulnerable, and so we structure our lives in such a way that makes us feel secure, that makes us feel stable, that makes us feel like we're in control. But the truth is, most of us spend our lives like the little kid in the shopping cart that comes with the steering wheel. He thinks he's in control, but he's not. And the control that you and I think that we have in this world is really just an illusion, a ghost. It doesn't really exist. And so I want to start off this message with giving you three questions. And these three questions, if you answer them honestly, they will give you an indication as to what your idols might be or potentially are. So question number one, do you feel like everything would be okay? Do you feel like your world would be okay if you just have blank? You fill in the blank. Would everything in your life be okay if you just had blank? And then secondly, do you feel like you would be okay if you were just loved or if you just had the approval of fill in the blank? Let me say it again. Do you feel like everything would be okay, that all in your life would be good if you could only get the love or the approval of blank? And then thirdly, final question, do you feel uncertainty or anxiety at the possibility of losing blank? Do you feel uncertainty? Do you get anxious about the potential of losing blank? Now, I'm willing to bet that there is something or someone that popped immediately into your head with each of those questions. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't mean that they are an idol, but it does mean that they could potentially be an idol or become an idol in your life. Someone said that we are the only creatures that crave certainty, that crave predictability, and we strive for guarantees, for certainties in our lives. And in that pursuit of certainty and guarantees, we often miss the beauty of discovery. I've come to find that there's two types of people when it comes to the Christian life specifically. And some of you have heard me share this illustration before. But the first kind of person is someone who's a tourist. Now, we've all been tourists. We've traveled. Maybe some of you have had the chance to travel to Hawaii or even internationally. And you know what it's like to have an itinerary. And you know the frustration of long lines, delayed flights, missed flights. See, when we approach life, when we approach especially the Christian faith like a tourist, we are bound to be disappointed and frustrated. See, a tourist craves predictability. A tourist craves for certainty. And when there's missed flights, when there's long lines and delays, that only produces angst and frustration and even disappointment. And then there are the explorers. Now, explorers understand that there is no predictability. Explorers embrace uncertainty. See, for explorers, it's not just about the destination. It is also about the journey. In fact, it is often in the delays or in the missed flights where life really happens, where discovery occurs. And it's life in between leaving and arriving where all the action is. And the sooner that we can let go of the illusion of control and embrace uncertainty, the more we will experience the fullness of the life that Jesus offers us. And so what's the antidote to uncertainty? How do we approach God? How do we approach life when on one hand we crave predictability and certainty and security? Well, it comes in one word, and the word is trust. Trust. Proverbs 3, as we just read, says trust. Trust in Yahweh. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, the word heart is the Hebrew word leb, and it has to do with our mind, with our will, with our inclinations, with our desires, with our emotions. It is all of who we are. And when we trust with all of who we are in God, and then lean, not on our own understanding. And the word lean is similar to the word trust, but it has to do with rest. When we rest in God, when we lean on Him, knowing that He can handle our weight, and not on our own understanding, not on our own abilities. And then verse 6 says this, in all your ways, not just the big ones, not just the important ones, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him. The word acknowledge means to know, like not just know about, but experientially know. The difference between I might know a person through a book or actually know them as a friend. And so when we acknowledge, that is when we know Him, He shall direct our paths. And the word direct is the idea there that when we look back on our life, when we look back on our paths that we have walked, at the time it may have felt like it was a zigzag, it was crazy, it was ups and downs, hills and valleys, peaks and lows. But we'll look back and say, ah, I get it now. God always had a plan, and it was always done. But you have to trust. You have to trust. See, trust is about where you're leaning your life on, what you're leaning your life on. Are you leaning your life on the economy? Are you leaning your life on a politician? An election? Are you leaning your life on religious behavior? Or are you leaning your life on your ability to be good enough? Are you leaning your life on your ability to save yourself? See, the Bible's very clear about one thing. You cannot save yourself. If we needed financial help, God would have sent an economist. If we needed physical help, He would have sent a doctor or a trainer. But the truth is, our greatest need is sin and what it does to our lives and what it does to those we love. And most importantly, what sin does to our relationship with God. But God so loved you that He gave, that He sent His only begotten Son, and that anyone who would believe, and that's the word trust right there, that anyone who would trust, anyone who would lean on Him would have eternal life. Have you put your trust in Jesus? I mean, have you really, with all of your life, your future, all of who you are, all of what you have you put your trust in Jesus? If you haven't, I want to encourage you right now just to pause the video, pause the podcast, and just take a minute and say a simple prayer. God, save me. God, I surrender my life to You. God, I've put my hope, I've put my trust in a lot of different things, but I choose to trust You today. Save me, forgive my sins. Give me eternal life and help me to walk faithfully with You for the rest of my days. You can say that in any way, in your own words. God knows your heart. And so don't be concerned about getting the words correct, but just surrender your life, put your trust in Him, and He will begin a good work in you. And He will not give up on you until you are complete. Someone once asked Mother Teresa, as they visited her in her ministry in Calcutta, and this man asked Mother Teresa to pray for him. And you'd probably do the same. I mean, if you had someone like Mother Teresa who would pray for you, I mean, who wouldn't miss a chance for that? And so she kindly agreed to pray for him, but asked him a very important question. What would you like me to pray for you about? And as he thought about it, he said, what I need is clarity. What does God want to do with my life? What does God have for me in the future? Clarity. Will you pray for clarity? And this was Mother Teresa's response, and I love it. I want to read it to you. She said, I have never had clarity. I have never had clarity, but what I have always had is trust. And so that is what I will pray for you, that you will trust God always. Now, remember what an idol is, right? An idol is something that you elevate to a high place in your life. Now, if you've ever read through the Old Testament, you'll notice that the nation of Israel is constantly in this cycle of obedience, then disobedience, then repentance, and then they cry out to God for help, and then God helps them. But it's this cycle where they continually fall into worship of the idols of the nations around them. And one of the things that they did was they would erect these idols in high places, on hills, on mounds, on mountains. It was always in high places, I suppose because they felt like they were closer to the gods. And then God would come along and he would send prophets reminding them, telling them to tear down those high places. To tear down those high places. Those false gods, those idols that bring death and destruction in your lives. And worship God only. And so, I've got some more questions for you as you seek to understand not only what the idols are potentially in your life, but what does it look like to trust God? How do you tear down those high places, those idols that you've elevated to a high place in your life? And so, write down these questions. First one, is there anything that you have elevated to a high place in your life? Be it a person, be it a car, a house, 401k, a job? Is there anything that you have elevated to a high place in your life such that it has a higher place than God and His kingdom? Second question. Is there someone or something that you fear losing more than you want Jesus? Is there something or someone in your life that if you were to lose it, would absolutely be devastating to you? In fact, it is so important to you that it is more important than wanting Jesus in your life. And then third question, is there someone or something that you are leaning on? Is there someone or something that you are putting your trust in other than God? Is there someone you're looking to give you the approval that only God can give you? Are you looking to someone or something to give you a purpose in life that only God can give you? Is there anyone or anything that you have elevated to that high place in your life that is absolutely taking the place of God in your life? Now, one of the things that we need to be really careful of, especially those of us who have been in church for a long time, we need to be very careful and give special attention to the reality of not putting our trust in what we believe or what we think we believe about God. So when we put our trust in a what, that is a way for us to try to have control in a chaotic, uncertain world. But over and over and over, we're told not to put our hope in a what, but to put our hope in a who. See, when we put our hope in a what, then we try to justify that our good behavior is good enough. And here's what happens, and you've heard me say this before. If we put our hope, if we put our trust in our own ability to be good or follow the rules or keep the rules, then when something goes wrong in our life, when we experience a devastating loss, it throws us for a loop. And we wonder why. Because we don't think we deserve, we think we deserve better, and we think that God owes us. But when we put our trust in a who and not a what, when we put our trust in a who and not a what, we rest in Him. And we recognize that life is uncertain, that life is unpredictable. And we try to make good decisions and we try to do the right thing, but we do it with the understanding that ultimately God is in control. And you're not, and I'm not. See, trust is about a person, not a precept. Now, just so you know, warning here. If you're going to choose to trust God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, it is not for the weak of heart. It is not for the faint of heart. Trusting God will be one of the most excruciating things that you attempt to do. See, at times it can be so difficult, but we're not unfamiliar with trusting. Some of you, like me, have gone under the knife, and we've laid on a hospital bed, and we've had that mask put on us and told to count down from 10 or 100 or whatever it is. And as those moments, we didn't put our trust in medical knowledge. We didn't put our trust in a college medical class. We put our trust in a doctor who was going to cut us open and hopefully cut us to heal us, to help us. When I was 19 years old, I went under to have my wisdom teeth removed. I'll never forget, because I had just started dating a gal, or was wanting to date a gal, and one of the things they do when they're about to put you under is they warn you of all the potential dangers, even the 0.0001% chance that something might go wrong. And one of those things that they said to me was, is that you could lose all feeling in your lips for the rest of your life. And I was terrified. In fact, when I woke up, I don't remember this, but my friend who drove me home was laughing at me. Thank God there weren't cell phones back then. But I was hitting my lips, whining, complaining that I'll never be able to enjoy a kiss. Well, thank God that nothing went wrong and I can enjoy a kiss with my lovely wife. But when we think about avoiding pain, when we think about avoiding problems, when we think of trying to be in control in a chaotic world, when we look for certainty in an uncertain world, we often lose out on the beauty of discovery of the things that God has for you and for me. See, the medical world understands that when you lay in that hospital bed and you got wires plugged into you and there's that little monitor there, right? And there's a little dot that goes up and down, up and down, up and down. And that is a sign that you are alive. But we all know when there's a flat line. A flat line, in a medical sense, means death. And so while we pursue life and we want predictability, we want a flat line, we want life to be easy, comfortable, and predictable. But the truth is, if we're going to embrace the abundant life that Jesus is inviting us to, it is a life of fullness, but a life of ups and downs, peaks and valleys. And even as Jesus faced uncertainty of the cross, if you remember when he was in the garden, he cried out to his heavenly Father and he put his trust in his Father's hands. Father, not my will, but yours be done. See, there is really only one thing that is for certain. And it's not a thing. It's a person. It's Jesus. And so put your trust in Him. Let go of control, embrace the uncertainty of life, and lean, that is, rest in His loving arms. Now, before I close, I want to help you develop. I want to help you grow in the area of trust in your life. It is not rocket science, but it does require some effort and some discipline on your part. Like I often say, you don't get Jesus like you get a suntan. And you're not going to build trust in your life. You're not going to grow trust in your life like you get a suntan. It's going to take some effort on your part. So let me suggest four things for you. And if you'll do these four things consistently and persistently over the period of time, you will begin to see your trust level grow way beyond what you ever thought possible. So the first thing is determine. Determine today, whether online or in person, to be with God's people in church. Whether in person or online, determine to be with God's people, online or in person. And if you can't be in person with God's people, call. Call people in your church. Call people that you know follow Jesus and connect with them. Talk about the messages. Talk about what you're learning. Talk about what you're struggling with. But determine to do that at least on a weekly basis. And then secondly, daily spend time with God. Some of you heard me talk about my chair time. Every day I sit in a chair, I read scripture. My pattern right now is to read a proverb and a psalm every day. And then I read a lot of other scriptures as I study God's word, as I prepare for messages. But every day I do those two things. I read proverbs, I read psalms, and then the next thing I want you to do is decide to be thankful. Every day I write three things. Now, I shared with you in a devotion about a couple weeks ago that I had just completely forgot to do that for about 8 or 9 days. And I found myself in a funk. And it only took a day or two as I got back into the habit of identifying and deciding to be thankful for at least three things that my heart was lifted. And then the final thing I want to invite you to is to do something to bless someone else. Do something to be a blessing to someone else.